How are you doing today?
Today's yet another fine day. You know, we're here. We've got work to be done. I said we're not done until there is not a single vending machine left on the planet. I got my work cut out for you.
You do. You do. We were just discussing last time diets, and we talked about a couple of them, and you know the story of an absolutely amazing young man, and he was one of these people who was had something like Crohn's disease. There was nothing that could be done, you know, written off, and he showed what happens when you get good nutrition.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you were talking about Jordan Rubin. Now, Dr. Jordan Rubin, the founder of a very successful company. What was it called again? Garden of Life.
Garden of Life, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, company's wonderful. When he was running the company, they were just the most wonderful, wonderful outfit with utmost respect that I've had. Yeah, since that time, they've moved on. You know, it's turned into a multi-million-dollar company run by spreadsheets and accountants and big time investors, and it isn't what it used to be. But as far as, you know, focus on quality of products, now the focus is much more on success and marketing and whatever. But Jordan's story is just phenomenal. He's I guess it's 15 years ago at age 19 when he just, you know, in a matter of a few months lost something like 80 pounds or something like that. He was down to like, you know, from 180 to 105 or some number like that.
Yeah, he was very
skeletal. I mean, he was looking like the concentration camp pictures.
Right. Right. I'm actually looking at a picture of him, sort of the before and after, and he does look like he could be in a concentration camp. And then after whatever happened, he's looking like a typical young 20-year-old hunk on a beach.
Yeah, hunk. Not just typical, man. He's top class.
He's in great shape. So yeah. What happened?
Well, he had bad ecology in his gut. You know, it was just that, the ecology in the gut. He was having the IBS, irritable bowel, and Crohn's, and all of those symptoms of alternating diarrhea and constipation, and he was not absorbing nutrients. So no matter what he ate, he was starving. He was starving from the inside.
Wow.
So there, you know, I mean, we can quote some things, right?
Well, how is that possible that you can be eating and not getting any nutrition?
Well, this is the gut. Right, the gut, it's just so underappreciated in our society. I don't know if people really are fully aware of this enteric system, the nervous system that resides in your gut. The fact that half of your nerve cells are actually in your gut.
Wow.
So you can call it your second brain, or perhaps your emotional brain. Because, you can relate to this, right?
Yeah.
Most emotions.
We talk about people who are, when you get emotional, you get, you know, stomach cramps, or you feel it in your stomach far more than you feel it anywhere else.
That's right. Yeah, you get the butterflies from anticipation, and you get this as if somebody punched you in the gut with fear and. All of these things.
That's
and
right.
We have so many metaphors and sayings and whatever. I mean, the society is well aware of it at the emotional, unconscious level.
Right, right, but not at the conscious level.
Right.
So he was suffering from things like intestinal parasites, candida, anemia, food allergies, diabetes. I mean, he looks so thin. Excruciating abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, poor circulation, liver problems, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, arthritis, insomnia, hair loss, bladder infections, eye inflammations, depression. He was a mess.
Absolutely. Absolutely a mess. And so then what, right?
Yeah. So that's the bad news. the good news is...
Well, you know, neither the mainstream medical science could help him, but even the alternative, you know, back in 94, couldn't help him. They did not have the right tools. He actually had to go and invent the stuff for himself.
Wow.
And this is typical, you know. I mean, you go to a typical naturopath today, and they've just gone to school that I call the green MDs, you know. They don't have the skills to be holistic. I mean, so many people are bandying this term about. They're saying, oh, I'm a holistic doctor or I'm a holistic health practitioner. But very few really are.
Mm-hmm.
They all are suffering from the same blindness, you know, the societal blindness of chasing symptoms instead of going strategic and understanding the whole thing in its entire ecology.
Right, right. The solution is this pill. Whether it's a herbal pill or a pharmaceutical pill, it's the same problem, right?
Yes. Yeah, and most everybody does not want to hear, well, you're going to have to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, let's do anything but that.
Yeah, people would just say, well, listen, don't give me that. Just what supplement do I buy? I mean, I hear this so often. What single most important supplement should I buy from you to help me with my health, with my digestive system? And I say, well, okay, let's start what you're putting in it. Tell me about your diet. How do you eat?
I was actually speaking with a friend of mine today, and he lost like 30 or 40 pounds.
Yes.
And I said, wow, how'd you do it? He said, I only did one thing. And I said, oh, what was that? He said, I stopped eating sugar.
Just like that.
Just like that. He says, yeah, I just dropped. I haven't done anything else differently. And I don't think he was particularly...
addicted?
I was going to say lazy is not the right word, but I don't think he laid around a lot. I mean, I think he was a very active person. But
yes.
So I think he's continued to be active. He just has cut out the sweets, and he's just amazed at this just melting off of his body, right?
Right. Well, we talked about this some time ago, is when you convince your body to switch from burning carbs for energy to burning fat for energy, you reset the brain that's controlling, or that is controlled by the leptin signaling. And I think he must have succeeded at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you reset the brain, you actually lose your cravings for the carbs.
Wow.
But it takes about 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's been doing it for a few months now. Well, he said he started a few months ago, so it's been a little bit of a while.
So anyway, back to Jordan's story.
Yeah.
His primary invention was a product that is called Primal Defense, which is a soil-based, organism-based probiotic, shall we call it that. And it's a good product. But it has one single shortcoming, which is that as long as you're taking it, everything's fine. When you stop taking it, it's over. Meaning the benefits go away.
And you go back to where you were before.
Well, it's a required supplement. You have to keep on taking it or else.
Hmm.
You know, 14 probiotic strains. It's that. What do we say about it? I actually just looked it up just to say homeostatic soil organisms, which is kind of the good stuff. You know, like when you take a carrot and pull it out of the ground, out of a soil that's rich in humus, rich in just, you know, healthy organic biodynamic soil. When you pull the carrot out, you should be able to just sort of swish it in a creek or a puddle or something like that, or a bucket of water, and you should be able to start munching right there.
Mm-hmm.
That carrot is going to be covered with thousands, if not millions, of little critters, nematodes and who knows what else that lives in the soil. And what happens in our grocery stores is we wash this in chlorinated water. In fact, we probably soak it in chlorinated water. So, of course, what happens is the chlorinated water just kills it off.
Right, because we don't think of those things as things that are valuable.
Well, they're dirty. I mean, you just look at the Lysol, what's it called, commercials on television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do they do? Well, they show you that you have to spray your bar handles and your kitchen counters and your toilet seats and everything else because, oh my gosh, there are these creatures and you need to wipe them out.
Right.
The sad thing is that, of course, when you do wipe them out, that you lose all of your resistance to the bad ones and you lose all of your access to the good ones. I don't know if you've ever seen little children, you know, the crawlies, like the ones that are still on all fours.
Yeah.
They put everything in their mouth.
Of course they do.
And that's how they acquire all of the bacterial stuff for their gut that they require. I mean, a child, you know, let's just look back at 1750, you know, before Industrial Revolution, somewhere in a hut or a farmhouse, log house, something like that, this child is crawling on the floor between the chickens and the cats and dogs.
Yep.
And sticking everything he finds in his mouth, including the chicken poop and everything else, right?
Yeah. Graphic image in my mind, but it's true.
It's true. That's how it went. So what do we have now? We have the child so protected that when he encounters something of the sort, he's in trouble. So now we need to go to a store and buy this SBO, soil-based organisms, and supplement with that. So the challenge with their approach to it, while it's phenomenally healing, is that they don't make that self-colonizing.
Mm.
I guess it's good for their bottom line, but it's not good for the consumer. Because
right.
you can never quit.
Yeah. So
unlike something like the Exilostrata flora, which is formulated by either a benevolent genius or a fool because he doesn't put his own financial interest ahead, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, with the strata flora, what you get is when you take some, it establishes a little beachhead of the good terrain, and then because it supplements all of the other elements that are required for this to grow, it will actually culture. It's sort of like growing a turf, you know. I don't know if you've ever watched it done from scratch, you know, like one happy springtime you start with bare dirt and then you plant the seed. Well, actually first you cover it with some mulch, I suppose, and then plant some seed and then cover it with some more mulch, and then you water it every day, and a few days later these little wispy teeny little bits of grass start growing. And if at that point you would stop watering or stop nourishing or stop taking good care of it, the thing would die. But if you keep feeding it, you will actually establish a very decent lawn. And on maybe its second season, it's going to be so well established that it's going to be a properly matted, thick turf that, you know, if for instance, in the middle of the summer, they issue a watering ban in your town, you could actually let it die out, and then when the rain comes back in the autumn, the lawn just greens up again and comes right back.
Right.
That wouldn't happen in the early lawn. That wasn't established and well, what's the word? Turfed and matted and
you've got all that stuff in the soil too that it may go dormant, but it'll come back once the moisture comes back as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so this is how I would like to illustrate the difference between a self-colonizing culture and a commercial culture that's not intended to restore you to full functioning.
But the key here is the digestive system, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, right back to the very basic. The very basic point is that if there is not the necessary terrain in your gut, and I think the metaphor of the lawn is a good one, because the villi in the small intestine are a lot like blades of grass, and it needs to be thick enough and long enough to maintain this proper barrier. There needs to be a certain electric tension between the villi, certain blocking, how do I best say this? All of the nutrients need to pass through this barrier, but they should be allowed to only pass when they're properly digested. They need to be small enough. They need to be taken apart. So, for instance, you shouldn't be passing proteins through. You should be passing only free-form amino acids.
Right.
Because if you pass a protein through, like under-digested chicken or under-digested wheat, is what will happen if you have leaky gut, you all of a sudden have these proteins rather than human proteins. Now you have wheat proteins or chicken proteins in your bloodstream, and your antibodies have to attack it because these are foreign invaders. And now you have a full-blown body allergy.
So one way of looking at it is there's this little war going on, and we're basically feeding the enemy.
Yes, and the beginning is in this fragile terrain in the villi of the small intestine, that they have to be long enough and thick enough to permit the passing of these nutrients through, but not too soon.
So one of the problems, as I'm listening to you, Martin, what comes to mind is, as you said, you know, antibacterial soap and chlorine to kill the bad germs. And, of course, germs itself has the connotation of being bad. So it becomes, we think of ourselves as this life entity,
yes.
One, right? And
yeah.
we never think of, like, I was just thinking of another analogy as opposed to these bad germs would be, what if this is like a city, you've got a city in your stomach, and you've got a lot of people that go to work every day trying to do the best job you can, and you've got some gangsters.
Yes. So, you know, you are. That's an excellent metaphor. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you could allow lawlessness to prevail in your city.
And if you do let lawlessness prevail in your city, then, you know, you're going to be sick and
oh, yeah. The traffic breaks down if the cops stop showing up.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, soon enough, one traffic light goes out, then another. You know, if you have one traffic light blinking on amber all day long, well, you know, that's one source of trouble. But if you have a whole bunch of them on amber now, you're going to produce this gridlock that you put out.
So. Yeah. Well, and also a lot of these people are trying to do a good job, right?
Yes.
And so we need to protect those people, and that's the part I think that we miss, because we just want to, there's a lot of criminals in there, just, you know, scoop everybody up and throw them in jail or kill them all or exterminate them all. And, of course, we have no idea what a trauma that causes for our body.
Yes. Well, true, yeah. If you run a course of antibiotics, which wipes out everything, unless you bring the right troops in, you end up in trouble, because the tough guys are actually more resilient, and they'll proliferate quicker than the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the balance is supposed to be about 80% of the good guys, 20% of the bad guys, you know, the gangsters. And if you get the balance the other way around, you end up with intestinal dysbiosis, where, you know, you get the leaky gut and you get the IBS, the irritable bowel syndrome, and who knows what else.
And I was just thinking of your analogy of the turf and the grass, and I thought, you know, that's really true. If you look at your lawn, and your lawn is 80% grass, and you've got a few dandelions and a few other moss and a few other things, like I got moss in my
yard. It still looks like a lawn, right?
It still looks like a lawn, but, it, you know, if it's basically, you know, 20% grass and 80% dandelions and stuff. It doesn't look like a lawn anymore.
No,
it's like a mess.
Now it's a backlot of some, who knows what, disturbed soil, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's actually a very good way of describing what's going on. This whole thing, there are about 3 to 5 pounds of bacterial culture in your body. So if you were to kind of visualize it, your forearm, you know, like from your elbow down to the fingertips,
mm-hmm.
that's about 3 to 5 pounds, depending on the size
wow.
of person you are. So that's about the size of the creature that's actually like an ant colony
yeah.
living inside of you.
And it's a good ant colony, we hope.
Oh, well, this is the control. And we're talking about the importance of the... Of the gut health, right?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, in guts you have all of the mood controllers being manufactured and all the opiates, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your body actually manufactures these psychopharmacological substances. I mean, all we're doing is, you know, like the Valium or whatever that you, or not you, but some people would take. Your body is fully capable of making it by itself.
Yeah. That's right. So. Get high on life, everybody.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we're going... it's so popular lately to see these commercials on television where they promote this probiotic yogurt.
Yep.
You must have noticed it, right?
Yeah.
And they usually have one, perhaps two, and now even one of them has 3 strains. Probiotics.
Wow. Three.
In the Strataflora, we put in 49. And that's,
holy smokes.
And that's just a good start. On top of that, we put in 15 strains of the soil-based, and we put in the natural ones like the kimchi and sauerkraut and those type of, you know, and kombucha as well. Those ancient fermentation cultures. That's an interesting thing. You know, I have a friend who's teaching people how to ferment their foods.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking that I'd like to introduce it to our viewers or listeners too.
So what, like, I think of fermentation as in making beer. So
yeah, good, nice analogy.
So what would fermenting, we're not talking about like pickles, that's not fermenting.
Well, the original fermented pickles were fermented. Then in the 1740, I think it was, they invented a pressure cooker and canning.
Yeah, canning.
In fact, canning was invented actually for the Napoleonic Wars. So that would be like 1790 to 1810 or something like that.
In that area, yeah.
Yeah. Because there was some phenomenal French fellow that worked on it, creating foods that they could can, pressurize, and move for the French troops as they went, you know, marching into Russia.
Okay.
Because that was a big deal, because you couldn't find food in the middle of the winter, right?
Yes, that's true.
So if you can feed your troops with canned food, hallelujah. But anyway, the point here is that you can take natural fermentation. You can chop up cabbage and put it under pressure in a crock pot with a bit of salt, not much, and by itself a process will begin, which is driven by lactobacilli, that will ferment all of the sugars that are in it. From the sugars into the lactic acid.
Okay.
And you can't eat this thing straight. You need to wash it out before you're going to consume it, right? Because it's so sour.
Oh, yeah.
But the food itself is living. It's preserved. It's beyond, you know, like... You
so
have
preserved in a living form is what you're saying.
Right. What you have there is that the enzymes are just...
still
vital
working.
And working, and even though this cabbage is, months old, I mean, could be years. I've seen a bottle of something that was not pickled, that's the wrong word, fermented or set on fermentation in 1989, and it's still living in perfect health. And the point here is that that culture, that self, starts in these in the sauerkraut or kimchi is the enzymatic going. It's the enzymatic environment that holds it. Anyway, a natural process. So we definitely need to have the lactobacilli and all of these little critters that will start, and we need to have them in adequate supply, because if we don't, we end up with gut problems.
Right.
And gut problems leads to problems with absorption. Either you're not getting the nutrients out, or you're allowing underdigested foods in.
And that's not good either.
No.
And we can see the reaction of the body when those sort of things happen. Like with Jordan, he had all of these conditions and lost weight like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty bad. And I guess that's what happened. That's really a picture on the window of the future if we live in a world that's sterile.
Oh yeah, that would be just the end of us. That's like getting the planet rid of insects.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
You know, you may think, well, mosquitoes, who needs that? Let's get rid of it. And you know, gallons of melathion are spilled all over the ditches of certain cities, but. You know, when you eliminate the mosquito larva is an important food source for all kinds of water living creatures.
Yeah.
You know, you break the chain, or what do we call it? The symbiotic terrain of all things, and trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard a prediction that if you get rid of bees, and we're actually threatening to do that. We have 4 years as a civilization on the planet before we collapse.
Wow. That's
anyway,
not good.
No, not good. So, you know, staying with the gut. Here's an interesting thing. There's more serotonin produced in the gut than anywhere else in the body.
Oh.
So people who are depressed have a lack of serotonin produced in the gut. And they could take SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which allows the serotonin to circulate longer so that your brain doesn't notice that there's not enough of it.
Okay.
But interestingly, you know, a little bit of Prozac will get rid of diarrhea, but too much Prozac will cause you terrible trouble.
Right.
Oh, I said it backwards. Actually, yeah, Prozac, and small amount of Prozac will cure constipation.
And a lot of it will
cause it. Yeah, too much of a good thing.
All right. Well, that's been really fascinating. We're going to be continuing to talk about diets for the next few weeks because, first of all, there's a lot of misconception about what we should be eating and dieting and what we need to have in our bodies. And we really felt that it was important to spend some significant time on that. And also to, you know, here's a really interesting success story. You know, Jordan Rubin and where he was when he was 19 and where he is today, you know, because people didn't give him, you know, much hope and in 1994. And today he's just a vibrant, healthy man, and it's really cool. So, you know, if you've got a problem, don't think that there's no hope. The trick is to find out get some information and then work on making sure that our body has everything it needs to build itself properly.
You said it. Starts in the gut.
All starts in the gut. So if you have a tummy ache, you know who to call. Or who are you going to call? I guess that's what I was thinking.
Who are you going to call?
I heard Ghostbusters 3 or something is going to be made in the next couple of years. So
oh,
who are you going to call?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Okay, gutbusters.
Gutbusters, yeah.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but we do have a lot of the tools. We do. I mean, first and foremost, you need to, you know, when you find yourself in a hole, you must find a way to stop digging.
But that's right.
With that, you know, you can get some decent advice here, and we can help you figure out the tools that you need to add to your program. As always, you know, call us at 1-866-543-3388, or look us up on the website, life-enthusiast.com, and you'll find the podcast link on the website. You can click through to all the previous episodes, and you can enjoy life. This is Martin for Life Enthusiast Co-op.